Streaming has gotten way too complicated, but you can hack the system with Prime Video. It has everything in one app with one password. See Roadhouse and the National Women's Soccer League, both included with Prime. Plus, you can buy Premier Boxing or stream the NHL and NBA playoffs on Max with the Bleacher Report Sports add-on. Or add Paramount Plus for the Masters on CBS. Prime Video. Restrictions apply. Prime membership required for add-on subscriptions. See Amazon.com/Amazon Prime for details.
Black Buffalo Zero products are intended for adults age 21 and older who are consumers of comparable products. If you're an adult age 21 and older who dips, I want to tell you about Black Buffalo Zero pouches. What are they made of? Pretty simple. Cured edible green leaves. Food-grade ingredients. Most importantly, there's no nicotine or tobacco. All proudly made here in the U.S. So if you're 21 and older and want to learn more about Black Buffalo Zero, head over to blackbuffalozero.com to learn more. You can buy their pouch online, ship directly to most states. Black Buffalo Zero, zero nicotine, zero tobacco, 100% ritual.
It's Freddie Prinze Jr. and Jeff Dye back in the ring. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. Hey, Jeff. Are you ready to rumble our way into an all-new season of Wrestling with Freddy?
You better believe I have. I've been practicing my body slams, and I'm jacked.
All right, don't go injuring yourself now. We'll be highlighting the best stories and matches of the week in wrestling from AEW, WWE, and have one-on-one talks with the best talents in the world of pro wrestling.
Listen to Wrestling with Freddy on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith, host of the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at the very least as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and I answer your phone calls and respond to your tweets. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions and straight-shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers, all that and more. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Thanks for listening to The Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for The Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Here we go on a Friday, live in Los Angeles. It is The Herd, wherever you may be, however you may be listening. iHeartRadio, Fox Sports Radio, FS1. Joy Taylor's off today. Alex Curry is back here on a Friday as we got some NFL games. I had a lot of NFL games last night, a lot of NFL action, had some baseball stuff going on. How are things?
It felt like fall last night. There was so much going on TV and then also being beautiful out here in L.A.
Yeah.
It was wonderful.
I'm starting to go to like a 10-day forecast around the country, and you can see in mountain communities cooling down at night. Mm-hmm. So I'll start with this. So before the draft, this previous draft was not a good quarterback draft. There were two or three quarterbacks. The kid I liked was Malik Willis, and I just said, you know, you can see the special. Who knows if these guys hit or not, but I thought, you know, that's a bottom of the first round pick. Well, he didn't go until like the third round. He did go to a good franchise. Tennessee's a very, very good franchise. They draft, they develop, they win a lot of games. But, you know, it's really funny. He's got a huge arm. He's a special athlete, but he went to a small college. A lot of people did. So did Cooper Kupp. Best receiver in the NFL went to a small college. So all I heard about Malik Willis before the draft was what he can't do. He can't do this. He can't do that. But what I saw last night is what he can do. Make other pro athletes look really slow. So haven't we learned enough from Josh Allen, who went to a small college, nobody recruited him out of high school, goes to Wyoming, nobody watched his games. Stop nitpicking the can't. And look at what they can do. Josh Allen, 6'6". He can leap over other human beings. He's got a huge arm. Mike Tomlin talked about this one time. We nitpick all these athletes, what they can't do. But if you watch somebody and go, wow, Malik Willis can make pro athletes look slow and can throw 65 yards off the wrong foot. And Mike Tomlin talked about this recently.
I love coaches that resist the responsibility of coaches. that talk negatively about a dude that can't learn and blah, blah. Man, if everybody could learn, we need less coaches.
Yeah, that's real.
Right? If the group didn't need management, then we wouldn't make as much.
Yep.
I love reading draft evals and somebody's talking about anything other than pedigree, talking about how poor somebody's hand usage is. Well, that's coaching. It all is in line with that not seeking comfort, because when you're a coach that's talking about somebody can't learn, you're seeking comfort because your teaching is struggling.
People confuse unique and different for can't. Let's stop boxing people in. That's why so many kids suffer from depression. We've boxed them in. Well, you've got to go to this class and you've got to do it this way. Some kids learn online. Some kids are very social. Some kids during the pandemic went into their computer and just loved life. Other kids, you know, he's a football player, she's a volleyball player, and you took that away from them. Not everybody fits into a box. People confuse unique and different for can't. I heard this about Mahomes. You can't be that erratic. You can't be this loose. I don't know. When I watch Patrick Mahomes, I see a lot of can. I'll figure out coaching the rest. So, you know, when I watched this kid last night, and by the way, Malik Willis, after the game, all the kid wants to be is coached.
Yeah, I missed some things probably, and I just made up for it with my legs. I can't continue to, like, you know, rely on that, though, but that's what the preseason is for. So you can just see those things against a live defense and one we hadn't played before. Like you say, you just got to look at the film, take it for what it's worth, and continue to work.
So let's segue to Daniel Jones and the Giants. So I watched the first couple series of that last night. So is Daniel Jones a franchise quarterback? Maybe. Maybe he has a second act after New York like a Ryan Tannehill and succeeds. But what Daniel Jones isn't is special, and what he isn't is good enough to elevate this very mediocre roster. So he's an incredibly ordinary quarterback. There's no real it there. There's no special there. And the Giants are a bad franchise. Now, they've been rebuilding since Eli left for 4 years. They're still not good. So that's institutional. That's ownership. That's executive. That's scouting. 4 years in a rebuild. Really good teams in this league. I saw Bill Parcells at one point take a one-win Miami team and win 11 the next year. And they weren't great, but they were good. So a 13-play drive at home to get a field goal against New England's second team, there's no special there. But isn't this interesting? When Daniel Jones came out, all I heard was can. He can be coached. He went to Duke. He can learn. He is big enough. There's a lot of Eli. He can. But there's no special to it. I mean, Zach Wilson struggled last year, but I see special. Trevor Lawrence struggled last year. I see special. Trey Lance only had two starts. Oh, you can see special. You can absolutely see why they drafted Trey Lance. I watched Daniel Jones. You know what he looks like? A guy that played football at Duke. It's Division I, but it's like, get good grades. Not recruited at all by the top 15 programs. Not a shot at Duke. Basketball, they get the best. He looks like, yeah, that guy, he played. Oh, really? Where? Duke. You ever talk about Duke in January in college football? So if you're going to convince me that Jimmy Garoppolo would not make a difference for the next 2 years for this losing franchise, you're out of your mind. I went today and I got the Giants schedule. And I looked at the New York Giants schedule. Play along with me. As far as I can tell, so ask yourself this. They open with Tennessee. Is Daniel Jones as good as Ryan Tannehill? No. Is he as good in week two as Baker Mayfield? He's not. He's not as talented as Baker Mayfield. Is he as good as Dak? That's game three. No. He is as good, we think, this morning as Justin Fields. I'm not sure, but it's an argument. After that, he follows Aaron Rodgers, Lamar Jackson, Trevor Lawrence. He's not as talented as them. He is better than Drew Lock by, and he could be as good as the kid in Houston. He's not as good as Jared Goff, who made his Super Bowl, or Dak, or Wentz, or Jalen Hurts, or Wentz, or Kirk Cousins, or Matt Ryan, or Jalen Hurts. So in three games all year for the Giants, three, you arguably have the better quarterback. It's not a definitive. at this point, you can't tell me he's better than Baker Mayfield. He is not better than Baker Mayfield. If you think that, if that's one of your better arguments, you lost. Three games all year of 17, you arguably have the better quarterback. And you're telling me, you start putting Jimmy Garoppolo against those guys. Jimmy Garoppolo, Goff? That's an argument. Jimmy Garoppolo, Wentz? Jimmy Garoppolo, Jalen Hurts? Jimmy Garoppolo, you know, I mean, I think Dak's better than Garoppolo, but, you know, I've seen him match up. Jimmy can make some plays. Jimmy wins playoff games. Dak doesn't have a lot of those. Jimmy Garoppolo gives you a shot in half your games, 8 or 9. You have the better quarterback, arguably. It's a pretty convincing argument if wins matter. So it's funny watching Malik Willis. We nitpick what he can't, but what he can do, you can't coach. 60-yard throws, wrong foot, make pro athletes look slow. All I heard about Daniel Jones, what he can do, but what he can't do is ever make anybody look mediocre as a pro athlete. I mean, he had some slant passes he completed. 13-play drive at home, 3 points against the second team. And it's not like the Giants don't have talent. Saquon Barkley's talented. Looked good last night. Kenny Galladay's got talent. They got players. I mean, don't tell me the Giants don't have some talent. I actually think they have a couple of good defensive linemen. I think they have a couple of weapons. They're pretty good. And that's where we are on a Friday. Leroy Butler, Hall of Famer now with the Green Bay Packers, is around the corner. Tony Baselli will be on the show today. A couple Hall of Famers. Stu Holden next hour, one of my favorite guys. We are getting closer and closer to the World Cup. I am so geeked out for that. It is great to have you in. Also, a little latest on Deshaun Watson. And Belichick is at his absolute grumpiest best. I don't have a lot of takeaways on New England because I've come to the point where I just don't get it. And they're smarter than me in New England. I don't understand it. They apparently understand it. It's all defensive coaches calling all the offensive plays. It was not pretty last night.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
Good to have you back. It is interesting how hard we are on our football players. You know, in baseball, it's understood that umpires get like a 2-week vacation in the middle of a baseball season. I know guys who have broadcasted, current broadcasters in Major League Baseball, they take 2 and 3 weeks off during the season, right? They'll take breaks, right? Not all, but some. NBA, Anthony Davis has played about 35% of the game since he was a Laker, and yet Laker fans will defend him to the end. That's just the way the... I mean, John Wall hasn't played for 2 years. He hasn't lost a single fan. Tom Brady decided here in preseason, I'm going to take about 10 days off. And it's kind of fuzzy. Nobody knows exactly why. Here's Todd Bowles discussing the reportedly pre-planned break by Tom Brady.
Mine is pretty high. Obviously, there's always going to be doubt, but I have a pretty high level of confidence, yes. This is something we talked about before training camp started. We allotted this time because he wanted to get in and get chemistry with the guys and go through 2 weeks of training camp, knowing he wasn't going to play the first 2 games.
So yesterday, my guess was there was a family emergency, some health, his mother. It's not that, you know, it's I have no idea what it is. I just found out about 2 weeks ago that Tom Brady was talking about being an owner for the Dolphins while he was a Patriot. So I'm not going to try to guess. Tom Brady does a lot of stuff and doesn't have to tell us. But Brady's literally been the guy that won't miss a snap. And so he decides, you know, I got pre-planned 10-day break. My guess, total guess is he retired. And he made certain promises to his family. And he's got 6 or 7 homes all over the country. One's up in Montana. And he said, let's go on a 2-week vacation in August in Montana. And he didn't want to break the promise because he retired. And then he unretired. And everybody was like, yeah, more dad. And then dad said, hey, I can't retire. Lawsuit in Miami. I got to go play. And so he said, I'm going to take a 2-week break. I don't think it matters. Aaron Rodgers never plays in preseason. I don't think chemistry's an issue. This is his third year with all the guys. It's a terrible division. They're going to win it going away. Most great athletes, I mean, this is almost all of them all time. Brady's a total exception. Most great athletes at the end, and I'm talking great athletes at the end, they are old, they're injured, they're not as productive. None of that's true with Brady. Brady's got a guilt issue. He feels like, you know, I've taken too much time away from my family. And he's talked about it publicly. My kids deserve more. My wife deserves more. Brady's issue is a family guilt issue. It's not an old, beat-up productivity issue. Even LeBron, the best body probably in NBA history, even now he struggles to get to 60 games in a regular season. I would not have a problem at all if Brady, the Buccaneers, have a bye in Week 11. And, I mean, let's be honest. Tom was retired. The Bucs got a break. He comes back. They got a break. Is that in Week 10, they go to Germany to play the Seahawks. They could probably beat the Seahawks without Tom Brady. I'd have no problem if Tom Brady, after Week 9, said, I'm not going to Germany in Week 10. I'm going to take the bye off, and I'll see you in Week 12. And he got 15 days off. I'd have absolutely no problem. I mean, they've got several games in this division, Atlanta twice. They could win with a backup. But you know, I look at this and I think to myself, Seattle, Germany, bye, take 2 weeks off. But it is interesting how we hold our football players accountable. In baseball, it's understood. Umpires take vacations. Announcers take vacations. I mean, Clayton Kershaw has some back spasms. Everybody understands. They're just going to shelf him for like a month and a half. They'll bring him back at the end of the regular season for like three starts, get back in a groove, then they'll play him in the postseason. Could Kershaw come before that? It's understood in baseball. When you have an older pitcher, you just give him time off. Take July off. If there's any back spasm, soreness, tenderness in the elbow, you just give him like 6-8 weeks off. In football, we're much tougher on our players. We want them to play hurt. We can't believe it. And my guess is this is just family time, and go for it. Take another 2-week vacation in the middle of the season. I'd have absolutely no problem. I said this when Kyler Murray's contract came up, or Lamar Jackson. And we always talk about those guys run around and they get hurt. And I've always made this argument. Let's say Kyler Murray is a smaller athlete. And it over the next 5 years, he averaged playing 14 or 17 games. He'd miss three games. I wouldn't sign him. I mean, that would mean in 14 games, I either have the best quarterback or a quarterback capable of beating somebody that's slightly better at quarterback. I'll take that. 17 games now. You've extended the season. I don't need my starting quarterback there every week. In fact, the players have argued they want a second bye in the season. I don't think it's a bad idea. I'd have no problem with a bye in Week 6 and a bye in Week 12. I mean, people get byes now after the season. The teams are rewarded for a bye, right? When they had excellent teams, you win your division. Alex with the news.
No.
Turn on the news.
This is the Herdline News.
Well, following the passing of NBA legend Bill Russell, Magic Johnson took to Twitter calling for the league to retire Russell's number six across the league. Now, yesterday, Adam Silver announced that the NBA would be doing just that, saying in a statement, Bill Russell's unparalleled success on the court and pioneering civil rights activism deserve to be honored in a unique and historic way. Permanently retiring his number six across every NBA team ensures that Bill's transcendent career will always be recognized. Now, this makes him the first player in NBA history to have a number retired league-wide. Now, every team will also wear a commemorative patch on their right shoulder, and they'll have a shamrock-shaped logo of Russell's number six on the sideline near the score table. But now players like LeBron, who wear number six, are grandfathered in. They'll be able to wear it.
He's the winningest player in the history of professional sports in America.
Yeah,
I think, and you know, obviously the racial stuff he had to deal with, but I mean, like Jerry West was the logo. It's kind of a celebration of a different time. This to me was an obvious one.
Yeah,
the Magic tweet, and people can sometimes make fun of Magic's tweets being obvious, but this is he's the winningest. And think about this: we all, you know, kind of worship at the altar of Michael Jordan, six championships. Bill's 11.
Yeah.
So, you know, this is one of those duh.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
It's the ultimate respect. There's only two other players in other sports. You got Wayne Gretzky, 99, Jackie Robinson, 42 across other sports. So, yeah. Like you said, it was meant to be.
Yep.
All right, moving on. Now, Colin, you mentioned earlier the Giants could be a good home for Jimmy G, but with an increased suspension looking more likely as the NFL awaits Peter Harvey's decision on the league's appeal, the latest report out of Cleveland says the team could look at another quarterback to bring in, and with Mary Kay Cabot reporting yesterday, the Browns will consider acquiring 49ers Jimmy Garoppolo if Deshaun Watson's six-game suspension increases. Now, Jimmy is a mastermind.
Yeah.
In chaos.
Yeah.
So he sat behind Tom Brady, who essentially got him traded away, didn't want him sitting behind him. And then last season, he spent the entire season playing, knowing that Trey Lance was the future, hearing everyone talk about how Trey Lance was the future, and he kept composure. He did a great job. He admitted after the season it was a little tough.
Yeah.
But if there's anybody who can control the media, control the situation, it is a Jimmy Garoppolo.
Yeah, I think we've talked about this. There are sometimes there's not a market for a player. Like, I was actually surprised how much of a market there was for Antonio Brown.
Yeah.
Like, I just could not bring that guy into my camp. There are times I'm shocked at players having any market if they've been disruptive. Or, you know, like Odell Beckham, I can't pay him a big contract. He's 30. He's been hurt three times. Mm-hmm. I think he has value to the Rams, but I can't give him a contract. There are certain guys, the opposite is, there are eight teams in this league that are bad at quarterback.
Yeah.
And Garoppolo's not only pretty good, he wins, but he's a good mentor and he's mm-hmm. not disruptive. And it's the most important position in the league. I've said this about wide receivers in the NFL. The college gives you 30 a year and about 10 that are really special. So, like, that, there's you have this conveyor belt, college to pro, of all these great receivers. That's one of the reasons, like Odell or Antonio Brown, I'm like, boy, I get that position gets furnished every year.
Yeah.
College football gives us one really elite quarterback a year. We have eight teams without it. So even next year, which is considered a very strong quarterback draft with C.J. Stroud and Bryce Young at the top, both very talented. And then, you know, Miami's got a kid and Kentucky's got a kid. Even next year, y'all realize now, if six get drafted, two will hit.
Mm-hmm.
So that means the eight desperate teams will be down to six. So at this position, I am shocked that we ever argue about Lamar deserving a contract. Or I even understand Deshaun getting a deal for all his creepiness. Like, so this, I watched the Giants last night and I think, you're going to tell me for the next 2 years you're not better with Garoppolo? You're just fooling yourself. You're telling fans, pay full boat for tickets, we can't compete at the highest levels. I don't get it. I think Garoppolo, and again, I don't think this guy's a Pro Bowler, but Cleveland, by the way, runs the exact, not exact, but mostly the same offense San Francisco does.
Oh,
it is very Gary Kubiak, Shanahan driven. He would be a great fit in Cleveland. And
yep.
And again, he also is a guy that he doesn't expect you to build a franchise around him. He's come to terms with what he is very quickly, which is often the hardest thing for pro athletes who have won to do. Self-awareness. Own what they've become or what they're marketed as. Jimmy's viewed right now to the Browns as a bridge quarterback. I think he would accept it.
He could also be great morale for that locker room. He commands a locker room.
Yeah.
Guys are going to listen to him. It could be just what they need in the midst of all of their chaos right now. Well, moving on. Last night, we had the second ever Field of Dreams game on Fox, and Drew Smyly was the star of the show, striking out 9 over 5 scoreless innings in the Cubs 4-2 win over the Reds. But one of the fan favorite moments was when Ken Griffey Sr. and Jr. emerged from the cornfield for a father-son catch for their own version of the memorable scene from the film in front of a sellout crowd of just under 8,000. Now, the Griffeys played catch as more parents and children joined them on the field with their own balls and gloves, followed by the Cubs and Reds dressed in special uniforms inspired by how the franchises looked in the early 20th century. Now, Colin, this whole game kind of brings you back to your childhood. Growing up, playing baseball with your mom, your dad. I personally grew up with season tickets to the Dodgers. All my childhood memories with my father are at a baseball game.
Well, my first job out of college was a minor league baseball team for 2 years. So when I see those aerial shots, it reminds me of all the minor league. I went to High Corbett Field in Tucson and Calgary Stadium and Edmonton's and Tacoma's and Phoenix Firebird Stadium. So I went to all these minor league stadiums for years. And minor league baseball is totally undervalued. It's affordable. It's easy in and out. And minor league teams go out of their way to take care of their fans.
Oh, yeah. It's so fun. I mean, and this was the perfect way to kind of tug, I think, at everyone's heartstrings. Having the Griffeys, the perfect father-son duo in baseball, come out and, you know, surface all those memories for all the fans watching.
Good stuff, Alex, with the news.
Well, that's the news.
And thanks for stopping by.
The Herd Line News.
So, you know, I saw something yesterday. Greg Popovich is obviously a Hall of Fame coach. He's in his 70s. And so Greg Popovich is sort of going the opposite of the rest of the NBA, whereas he doesn't get along with stars. You know, everybody kind of pampers stars in the NBA, right? Like, you just kind of deal with it. Popovich is the opposite. Kawhi Leonard wouldn't listen to him. He's out of town. Dante Murray's another really good. They got rid of him. It didn't work. They didn't want to pay him big money. And it's kind of the opposite of where the league is going. But San Antonio's a one-horse town. The Spurs are projected. The San Antonio Spurs are projected in Vegas to be the worst team in the league. And they've been bad for like 4 years. They're like they're off, you know, they're off the map. Nobody talks about them, off the grid. And you know, Greg Popovich would be fired if he was not called Greg Popovich, and he has a great legacy. But I always think there is a balance of, okay, you were great and gave us this, but we're going to move you into a consulting role because you're 70. Nobody's at their best when the first number on their age is 7. We all know that, right? Like, we all kind of peak. I think cognitively, maybe we peak at about 58 to 64, something like that. You can work longer, but NBA is a grind, especially to coach. And so, but Popovich, because of his resume, respectfully, you feel like, you know, Tony La Russa has a job because of his resume in Chicago. He feels outdated. Popovich, to me, smart guy, feels a little outdated. The culture is now a little more pro player than it's ever been in the NBA. Whether you agree with it or not, that's the reality of the league. So, you know, I watch the Patriots now. What the top teams in the league are doing. The league has moved to offense. I mean, if I said who are the best teams to win a Super Bowl this year, almost all of them are offensively driven, right? You think of Tampa with Tommy and Aaron and Green Bay and the Rams and the Niners. They almost all have top quarterbacks, or at least they have really an offensive sensibility as a franchise. Andy Reid, play designer, draft it, develop it. Kansas City's an offensive juggernaut. That organization years ago leaned heavy offense. Miami Dolphins, to their credit, have gone from defense, pivoted totally to offense. And then there's the Greg Popovich of the NFL, Bill Belichick, who remains rigid, grumpy, and their play calling is all defensive guys or special teams guys. But again, how do you balance the resume? So I watched them last night. There's just nothing there. And then James White retires, incredibly valuable, versatile player. And so Belichick, they don't know who's calling the plays. I have two stories this morning that Matt Patricia called him, and then Joe Judge is now calling him. I don't know who's calling the plays. Belichick was on the headset, and afterwards Bill spoke with the press about it.
Do you know if one will call plays when the regular season arrives?
Yeah, well, don't worry about that. We'll work it out.
So have you decided?
We're going through a process, just like everything else on this team.
What do you need to see to make a final decision?
We're going through a process. It's simple as that.
Okay. It's just a little bit of an unusual situation for us that have watched you guys before. Well, and so, I mean,
what do you want me to do?
I guess we're just looking for a little clarity as to...
Great.
But, you know, there was a time when Bill Walsh retired. It was inconceivable there would have been a coach better than Bill Walsh. Like, people still use Bill Walsh's West Coast offense today, right? And there's this idea that Belichick's the best coach ever. That's it. We thought that about Michael Jordan. Then LeBron happened. And I look at Belichick and I say to myself, well, he was fired in Cleveland. And this is a disaster. And he can't win without Tom. Like, Andy Reid has won everywhere. Two owners, two conferences, two divisions, six quarterbacks, got two different quarterbacks to a Super Bowl. Like I said it yesterday, if Andy Reid coaches 7 more years and wins 3 more Super Bowls and has a great last 10 years of his career and a really good first 20 years of his career, are we sure Belichick's the best coach ever? It was inconceivable that somebody could be argued better than Jordan, or a football coach would be better than Bill Walsh. This thing is, you know, it's hard to have a great legacy when your final several chapters are awful. It's hard to have a great movie with a bad last 25 minutes. John Elway, last game as a pro, won the Super Bowl and walked off and could have played for 2-3 more years. People forget this about John Elway. John Elway was blown out in 3 Super Bowls. He got a coach fired. He never really could win big games, right? That was always the knock. But he really ended well in the last 3 years. His legacy is unbelievable. Brett Favre, he got Super Bowl II, but at the end he went to the Jets. It was a mess. That last throw in Minnesota before he retired, oh, God, it was just a mess. And he's been kind of, since he retired, he's said a bunch of weird stuff. Nobody talks about Brett Favre. Peyton Manning ends in Denver last couple of years. He's in Denver for 3 or 4 years. He's great most of the time. He wins a Super Bowl, right? And then he's funny on television. His business stuff is doing great. We hold Peyton Manning to a much higher esteem than Brett Favre. But when Favre played, he was more popular than Peyton Manning. I mean, Favre literally, until his last days in Green Bay, was number one in the NFL in jersey sales. He played in Green Bay forever. Everybody had his jersey. Aaron Rodgers, similarly in Green Bay for 15 years, he's 20th in jersey sales. People loved Favre. And now you don't think, it's just that he's not in the conversation. So how you end does matter. Now Michael Jordan went 6-for-6. The Wizards was a mess. He was only there a couple of years. It's almost like the tape disappeared. But I look at sort of Belichick and the way it's going. It's not just losing. It feels like rigid and stubborn, and it's so bad. Or maybe he's smarter than all of us. That the new way to do things is anybody can call plays. Defensive coordinator, cornerback coach, special teams coach. I don't think that's true. But how this is ending, and there's a convergence here of Josh Allen ascending and Belichick going more defense than offense, and I don't think it's going to play out well. I don't think it's going to, and I just, the AFC now, Mac Jones may be the 10th best quarterback. And Belichick was fired before New England, and it's going to end poorly. I'm not saying we're not going to consider Bill really bright, but I don't think it's a hot take. If Andy Reid, if I knew he was going to coach 10 more years with Mahomes, and his last, from today, and his last 14 years or three or four Super Bowls, kept up with the league, pivoted with the league, draft and develop well, and Belichick stays six more, and this is what I get, stuff that feels inconceivable. I mean, Bill Walsh was, we thought Lombardi was it. And then we thought Walsh was it. And now we think Belichick was it. Man, this ain't pretty. This is not pretty. I'm fascinated by New England. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe they win 11 games. Maybe they have really no week-to-week game. All the stuff he was great about early, Bill was always known as every week. He was updated. He was constantly preparing for the opponent with a different game plan. They seem so outdated, so out of sorts. I don't even know what to. I watched it last night. I'm like, I don't get it. I give up. I don't get it. The whole world's going left. They're going right. I don't get it. Leroy Butler, the Hall of Famer, Packers around the corner. Leroy Butler.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
Hey, I'm Doug Gottlieb. The podcast is called All Ball. We usually talk all basketball all the time, but it's more about the stories about what made these people love their sport and all the interesting interactions along the way. We talk to coaches. We talk to players. We tell you stories. You download it. You listen to it. I think you'll like it. Listen to All Ball with Doug Gottlieb on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You know, I was talking about the world's going left, the Patriots are going right. For years and years, Microsoft in the Pacific Northwest was the company of note. Steve Jobs left Apple, they went down, they eroded. And the entire industry, Apple said, the iPhone is everything. It is the future of our lives, which it's become. And Microsoft's like, nah, we're not really into the phone. And Microsoft had Bill Gates and Paul Allen and Steve Ballmer, three of the smartest guys in America. And Microsoft, I don't know if they were stubborn. They just didn't grasp it. They didn't go with the phone. Apple said, we don't think it's important. We think it's everything going forward. And look at what Apple's done. Now, Microsoft has rebounded. You know, you've got a lot of smart people. But sometimes these legendary companies just miss. They've got a hole. They don't see it. And maybe Belichick's smarter than the world. But man, I do not get this new philosophy of offense is overrated. Let's have defensive guys and special teamers and cornerback coaches running the offense. I don't get it. Leroy Butler's a Pro Football Hall of Famer. Couldn't be a better guy. Big talk show host in Green Bay. So you were just introduced, by the way. Congratulations. Great player. Great guy. Good for you. One of four players in NFL history with 35 picks and 20 sacks. So here we go. Green Bay's fascinating. This is well documented that sometimes Aaron, as gifted as he is, has some kind of trust issues with young receiver. Took him a while for Devontae Adams. Took him a while for maybe a Donald Driver. And now we're asking him, take these rookies and just be great. It's really, I have my doubts. What have you heard and seen so far from it?
Well, they got a kid, Romeo Dubs, that seemed to be the new guy that's making splash plays. Christian Watson, he was put on the PUP list, wasn't available. That was their top pick in the second round. But I think it's the system, Colin, that you have to have a faith and a belief in that they can develop guys along the way. But at the same time, they're still going to run the ball, a lot of play action, and Aaron just has to be himself. I think this may be one of his more productive years because now he doesn't have to force the ball to Davante Adams. They've done that for 3 years and have not gotten to the Super Bowl. So let's try something different, maybe spread the ball around. Maybe you can get to the Super Bowl.
So Aaron Rodgers made a comp the other day to Jordan Love. Do we have an update on that? Do we have a sense of Jordan Love? Is he getting better? Is there a plateau? Where is he at? What have you seen?
I think that's a great question because I think the people who've seen him have not seen enough of him to forge a judgment. Against Kansas City, that was only one game, and then the pandemic really stunted his growth. But this year, he gets Tom Clemens, another quarterback's coach, Adam Stanovich, who was the offensive line coach last year, and now he's the coordinator, just like most young quarterbacks. They have a lot of different coaches, but he's always been under Matt LaFleur. This past year, you see more tape of him working out in the offseason and things of that nature. And I'm telling you, Colin, he looks much better. Now, we'll get a chance to see that more tonight because he's going to play a lot in this preseason. The good thing about it, he's familiar with the defense that Kyle Shanahan runs, so he should be okay. But for the most part, he's going to be just like any quarterback in this particular offense, the Rams, San Francisco. He just had to do what he do, move the chains. Don't go out and try to be Aaron Rodgers. Just keep the chains moving.
You know, Green Bay over the last 20, 25 years has a different standard than most of the league. It's not about winning the division. Yeah. They win it 3 out of 4 years. You got to win playoff games. And, yeah. You know, that was the knock on McCarthy. McCarthy won a lot of regular season games. They didn't trust him in the postseason. I've watched Matt LaFleur and Green Bay melt down in the fourth quarter the last 2 years in the playoffs. I mean, last year, Garoppolo outplayed Aaron Rodgers. I can blame all on Aaron, but it did feel the team got tight, situationally got outmaneuvered. What is the feeling today on your talk show? Because the standard in Green Bay is not winning a division. Been there, done that. The standard is getting to the conference championship and beyond. Are there any apprehensions about LaFleur and the fourth quarter meltdowns in the playoffs?
Well, I tell you what, I think the word is finish. He was 39-10 in 3 years. That's phenomenal. I think he beat George Seifert's record. That's been great. But now it's about finishing and getting to the Super Bowl. You're spot on. And technically, they're thinking the same thing. We won a lot of games, and we lost games at home to Tom Brady and Garoppolo. Now, let's finish. So what we did back in the 90s with Mike Holmgren, who I think who's a Hall of Famer, after week 11, Colin, we did ones against ones on Friday to keep the competitive juices up. We were great in the playoffs because we had the same problem when we lost to Dallas in 1995, and we just didn't know what it takes to finish. But when it gets into the playoffs, you got to understand it's a new season. So I think you have to adjust your practice schedule and go more ones against ones. That puts your guys in the mind frame of we're in playoff mode now. And for the last 4 or 5 games, you play accordingly.
So, yeah, listen, there's that story that came. Aaron's been pretty public in his last couple of off seasons. And, you know, there's the I'm going to retire stuff, which I don't love, all the Hollywood friends, and some of that stuff just doesn't play well in the Midwest. Now he comes out and says, yeah, I had a psychedelic brew. And, you know, I live in California, and I looked at it and I thought, that's a little over the top. I don't want my franchise quarterback talking about that. But be that as it may, he did. How did that play among your constituents, your audience on your radio show?
Well, it's no judgment. I mean, whatever a guy has to do with anxiety and do with pain, you have to do. I just at least said it was nothing illegal about it. I think a lot of guys don't really like taking pills and injections if they're having some kind of pain and things of that nature. And one thing about Aaron Rodgers, he just wanted to be relaxed through what all the scrutiny is on and off the field to understand what's my purpose. And that's what he's coming to realize, that you're a quarterback of a team that says it's called Title Town. No other team can say that. And Aaron has to understand that when you get in the locker room, your teammates love you. There's no judgment at all. And the fan base will support you. But he has to understand that let us support you. Let us fight some of your battles for you. You don't need to be arguing with people online. We can do that for you. Because I think the more and more Aaron understands that once this game is over and he has a gold jacket like me, you know what? I missed the game and I missed my teammates. Mm-hmm. So while you're playing, just have fun. I think this year, this is a great prediction for me. I told my nephew this. This will be the most fun he's ever had this year because he doesn't have to kind of 80% of the playbook going to Devontae. He can really spread things around. And if he's an MVP with this receiving core, oh, he'll be one of the GOATs to play this game.
Finally, when they unveiled your bust and you were officially a Hall of Famer, you'd been a great player forever. How emotional? What was the first thing that went through your mind when you saw that in Canton?
Colin, I thought of my mom. She passed away 6 years ago, and how she taught me to be a humble person, but at the same time, use a platform to help others, my teachers. I talked about my teammates and things like that. Bob Harlan, the Green Bay Packer, playing for one team was very important. So I just love having fun. I love the fact that my teammates were down there with me. And this is a dream come true. When you, just like I said at the beginning of my speech, when you play for the Packers, a lot of doors open up for you. When you win a championship, all doors open up. But when you go to the Hall of Fame, Colin, football heaven opens up. So it's just truly amazing to have this kind of platform to get in the Hall of Fame, especially when there's only 362 guys in the Hall of Fame.
Isn't that amazing? All those players, yep. 362.
Hey, you know, normally we do a surprise for you real quick.
All right.
Last time we had your picture up. This year I got a Hall of Fame jersey for you.
Look at you.
Now, and I have one for Joy, too. But Joy, I know she's off.
You're such a thoughtful guy. You give us.
And I got one for Alex, too. I got one for Alex as well.
I'll take it. I love you for it.
You have always been. I trust Leroy because I go to him and ask him what his callers are saying.
Yeah.
And he always gives us the straight skinny, and it's not always good news. Yes. But you're an incredibly thoughtful guy, and I just love that about you. And I still can't figure out the picture of J-Lo behind you, but that's your private business and not mine. And so be that as it may.
Hey, she's married now, but we still love J-Lo. And thank you for – I'm glad she got married. So she's happy, and this show's happy when J-Lo's happy.
I love it.
Leroy, it's great seeing you as always.
Thank you so much, Colin. Take care. Bye-bye, Alex.
All right.
See ya.
You're just a quality guy. He really is.
Heart of gold.
Yeah. And it's interesting. I did local radio for years, and there are times I miss it. I miss Monday morning, if you're in an NFL city and you lose a close game, you open the phone lines up, that is gold.
Fire.
Hour two next.
It's Freddie Prinz Jr. and Jeff Dye back in the ring. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. Hey, Jeff. Are you ready to rumble our way into an all-new season of Wrestling with Freddy?
You better believe I have. I've been practicing my body slams, and I'm jacked.
All right, don't go injuring yourself now. We'll be highlighting the best stories and matches of the week in wrestling from AEW, WWE, and have one-on-one talks with the best talents in the world of pro wrestling.
Listen to Wrestling with Freddy on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith, host of the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at the very least as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and I answer your phone calls and respond to your tweets. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions and straight-shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers, all that and more. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Elevation with Stephen Furtick podcast was created with you in mind. This is a podcast for those feeling discouraged or needing guidance from God. Together in this podcast, we'll dive deep into scripture, uncover the powerful truths that will help you rise above your limitations and embrace your full potential. We're here to equip you with the tools you need to conquer life's challenges. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Last season on the Choosing Sides F1 podcast, we established unequivocally that F1 is the pinnacle of motorsports.
We did, but honestly, I was left with more questions than answers, Tony.
I'm Tony Karen Brown, a tech, culture, and F1 commentator.
And I'm Michael Costa, comedian from The Daily Show.
Join us for season 2 of Choosing Sides, F1.
Our F1 102, if you will.
And get all of the answers.
All of them? Listen to Choosing Sides, F1 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts,
or wherever you get your podcasts.